Sermons from the Journey is an audio podcast of the weekly message preached by Reverend Rebecca Clark, pastor at Trinity United Methodist Church in Montpelier, Vermont, and blogging online at pastorbecca.com. Thanks for listening.
In 1977, Father Oscar Romero was appointed Archbishop of San Salvador, the capital city and area of El Salvador, which is the smallest, most densely populated country in Central America. The nation was in tremendous turmoil. A coup in 1979 exacerbated the struggle between the middle-class revolutionaries and the military. In the midst of a series of suspicious and rigged elections, assassinations and assassination attempts, and corrupt political schemings. The people of El Salvador lived in fear of the military and their own militias, death squads executing civilians by the dozens. All in all, not very different from the world in which Jesus lived. Also in 1977, a Jesuit priest named Rutilio Grande was assassinated along with two other Salvadorans. He had been organizing the peasants of El Salvador and speaking against the government's suppression of the poor and of the church and its leaders. He was a close friend of Oscar Romero's. The week after his death, Romero celebrated one Mass and one communion in the city region, effectively forcing the divided Catholics of his nation to worship together. He began pressing the government to investigate Grande's death, and became himself an advocate, a greater advocate, for the nation's poor and oppressed. In his weekly radio sermons and addresses, he named martyrs and victims and advocated for justice. 33 years ago today, Archbishop Romero was assassinated in a chapel in his mission field. He was shot as he presided over the Lord's table, just as he lifted the communion chalice. What power do we have in the face of violence and oppression? Whether it is revolution and corruption, rogue shooters in schools and shopping malls, the military-industrial complex, or the Romans riding into town on their war chargers the week of Passover, how do we respond to violence and devastation and destruction and hatred around us? With what do we arm ourselves against bullets and guerrillas, against soldiers and their spears? This is the question that faced Jesus, a question he had to answer not only for himself, but for his followers for all time. There were many who wanted to see him rally a militia to counter Rome's might, to stand against the oppression of his people. But would his militia have been any more effective, any more liberative than those in El Salvador nearly two millennia later? Or would they too have slaughtered civilians and driven people further from the peace and love of God to which this carpenter turned rabbi had devoted his life? Jesus made a choice, and those who follow Jesus have been called to make the same choice ever since. Faced with Roman soldiers, Jesus rallied around himself Jewish peasants. Faced with mighty spears, he surrounded himself with powerless palm branches. Soldiers and spears versus peasants and palms. I know who I'd pick in my March Madness bracket. And I'd be wrong, which is not unfamiliar for folks with March Madness brackets. I'd be wrong, as Rome was wrong. As all who oppress, who usurp, who slaughter, who execute, who wage war and massacre innocents are wrong. All who trust in the power of violence and might, of soldiers and of spears. Like his followers after him, Romero and King and countless others, Jesus was assassinated, executed as an enemy of both church and state, a rabble-rouser and a traitor, one who spoke against the corruption and violence embedded in the systems around him, a threat to all that Rome and that the servants of the temple held dear and found important and safe. And he never raised a finger. He understood, modeled, and by his witness evoked an understanding of power armed with palm branches, peasants and palms, against a sea of soldiers and spears, radio addresses and the communion cup in the face of militia and military coup. What good are these forms of power? Powerless in the eyes of the world, foolishness, it would seem. And yet, this is the power of God, not violence, which is never liberating, not suffering and suffering for suffering's sake, which is not redemptive. The simple, peaceful, bold proclamation for justice, liberation, God's good and grace-filled shalom, no matter what might arrayed against us. And sometimes those voices for justice are silenced for a time. Sometimes the workers for liberation are captured and imprisoned and perhaps even killed. Sometimes those who believe in peace and love and grace seem utterly foolish in the eyes of the world. But that is never the end, because the power of God is in the powerless. The liberation of God is in the oppressed. The grace and peace and love of God break free from places of sin and brokenness, violence and greed, hatred and, yes, even death. Palm Sunday is one of my favorite days, if you can't tell. I get excited about it. It's a day I always think about power, what it means and who has it, and how it is understood or misunderstood. The people of Jerusalem seeking a Messiah who would be a warrior to lead them in revolution and revolt against Rome misunderstood power. So did the Roman governor on his war charger, with his show of strength to try to keep the people under his heel as Passover approached, misunderstood power. The militias and government and turnover coups of El Salvador misunderstood. We continue quite often to misunderstand. Because we follow, we emulate, we imitate Jesus the Christ, who teaches that power is not found in soldiers and spears, but in peasants and palm branches, in voices that will not be silenced by violence or oppression, that cannot be silenced even by death, in witnesses of salvation, the broken bread, the lifted cup, even as bullets slice the air. Look at your palms, the branches, I mean, that we gave you. Powerless and simple, not good for much other than waving, pretty gentle. Now look at your palms holding those branches. What power is in them? We can use them to hold spears or palm leaves. We can lift chalices or semi-automatics. We have a choice in how we respond to violence, in where we place our trust, and in what we believe brings healing and justice and salvation. What power is in your voice, your witness, the palms in your hands, the palms of your hands? Whatever our answer, we carry it into this holy week, into the face of a world so often in turmoil, to the foot of the cross and the mouth of the tomb. Transformation and salvation as we seek and as we understand it, cupped in our powerful palms. Amen.